Okay, this is part one, which is going to be actually in two sections, of a foundational series of messages given to the doulas, the bondservants, the doulas school of ministry. And I say foundational because it cannot be skipped over, the principles and truths that we're going to cover in this series. In the introductory series called Needed Workers for the Harvest, we talked about the need for more workers in the harvest and also a different kind of worker for the harvest. And that's what we really see that God really wants to do in the days, months, and years to come. The central passage for that series is Matthew 9, verses 35 through verse 38. Jesus here tells us the harvest is not the problem. It's what? It's the lack of workers. So let's return to that passage. We can use this as a springboard for this particular series. Okay, I'm going to read the Matthew 9, starting in verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Okay, we didn't really go into this in the introductory series, but another way of saying workers could be to say shepherds, because Jesus is looking and saying, the sheep are like without a shepherd. And then he says, pray for the workers. Now, we should probably kind of mention right now, we're not saying replacing the chief shepherd. That's Jesus, isn't it? And that's never, never our role to do that. Still, there is a need for shepherds, for workers, and Jesus is actually saying there needs to be more and we need to be praying for more. So in this passage, we see that Jesus, looking out on the people, he felt compassion for them, and he says that they were like sheep without a shepherd. He's talking about workers. And really, I think there's a good description of sheep here. He says, because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. My understanding is that the Greek words for distressed and spirited are very hard to translate. That's because they're such powerful words. And that's also another reason why there's so many different possible translations of those words. Let me just mention some that are that you might even have in your Bible. They were distressed. Comes from the word stress, right? You know, and a lot, are people in stress today? Certainly they are. You know, scattered, you know, torn and thrown down, mangled and thrown to the ground. This is what these words mean. Distracted. That certainly describes a lot of sheep today. Dejected, that means they just feel like nobody cares for them, nobody loves them. Harassed, dispirited, taken advantage of and abused, being stolen from. Sounds like a lot of people we know, doesn't it? You know, because it describes the inner feelings and frustrations of people today. We live in a very dysfunctional society, don't we? And I'm talking about individuals, I'm talking about families, I'm talking about places of employment, sometimes even the church, government and politics, certainly there. And it's always been so, because Jesus back 2000 years ago is talking about this. But I think there is a difference today. The difference being that boundaries have largely been removed. It is now okay to say what you want, regardless of whether it's true, whether it's hurtful, whether it'll bring permanent damage, you know? And really this lines up to what we kind of talked about in that first series, like in Matthew 24, I think it's verse 11, where it talks about the love of many. Actually, it says most will grow cold. Or in 2 Timothy chapter 3, You know, verses 1-5, it says, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times are going to come. And he says, men are going to be what? Gives five verses of things, but it says they're lovers of pleasure. There's lovers of self. There's lovers of money. In other words, everything's focused in on themselves. And somehow the restraints, the boundaries that we knew in earlier generations are being cast off. And so when I read what Jesus says here in Matthew 9 about sheep being distressed and dispirited, I think it's even more so today. And that's what 2 Timothy talks about. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 24. And if it's even more so, then the need for shepherds for the sheep, there's a greater need today than even then 2,000 years ago when Jesus first spoke these words. So, and we should probably also kind of mention that I think very important in this passage, seeing the people or seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them. Why? Because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Well, I'd like first to go to Ezekiel 34. And I think here we see a warning, a very severe warning, and a promise, a very beautiful promise. And there are other places in the Old Testament where you find similar things. I just want to read one passage. Let's start with Ezekiel 34, 1-5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and to say those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? And you know, that's a good question. You know, shepherds are to be looking after the sheep first. But he's talking about that shepherds were more interested in feeding themselves than the flock. And then he goes on in verse 3, you eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. In other words, you take advantage of them. You abuse them. You put stress on them, all for your own personal gain. That's what he's saying here. Verse 4, I really like it. It says, those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and severity you have dominated them. You know, there's five things there. You know, it's the sickly, it's the broken, it's the diseased, it's the scattered, and it's the lost. And, you know, a lot of times we don't want to care for those types of people because every one of those types of people, they probably have some problems, don't they? They may have some issues. But really, they represent the vast majority of mankind today, of our society. Verse 5, and so they were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. By the way, when Jesus says they were like sheep without a shepherd, it was a reference to this passage. Jesus knew this passage, and he was bringing this to mind for the disciples to hear. And then in verse 8, as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field, for lack of a shepherd. There it is again, that phrase again. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. I mean, wow, this is... You know, this really is a woe to the shepherds or to the leaders, those who have been entrusted to care for the people of God. And you know, he said, because you haven't been taking care of them, what? They're food for the beast of the field. And that's what's happening, I think, a lot among God's people today. They are scattered and they are subject to all sorts of deception and really the schemes of the enemy because there are not shepherds, true shepherds, that not like this, but are going to care and love the flock. Well, there's a lot to this passage. I mean, really, the whole chapter is good. We're not going to go into all of it, but I think we can say God is against shepherds like this, right? I mean, really, some of the most severe woes are directed in this direction. Actually, in John 10, Jesus refers to them as hirelings. In other words, they do it for pay. They do it for, you know, a sense of maybe personal gain. Maybe they feel good about themselves. It could be a lot of things, but it's not because there's a real love and heart for the lost and the scattered and the broken. Okay, now let's skip down to verse 11, and we see that God is going to raise up and give them a true shepherd. Let's see. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As the shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places in which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. They will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I'll bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. So God here, he says, you know, because you're not doing this, I'm going to come, and I'm going to do all the things that you haven't been doing. And then if we kind of go to verse 23, we see exactly how God's going to come and do this. It's going to be, well, let's read it. Verse 23, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. Who's that referring to? Jesus, of course. And he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts from the land so that they may live securely, even in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. That's how secure it's going to be. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. I will cause showers to come down in their season. There will be showers of blessing. Now, I've just read a few sections here. But basically, what's happening here? Jesus, God is saying, I'm going to send Jesus, my servant David, and he's going to be the true shepherd. And by the way, when Jesus, when he was here on earth, you can see this in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. And he says, and I'm going to take care. I'm not going to be like a hireling. I'm going to take care of my people, the sheep here. And Jesus and Jesus alone is the good and perfect shepherd that will even give his life for the sheep, which we haven't even really gotten into. And Jesus, he's going to feed them. He's going to gather the scattered. In fact, he's even going to bring them from other nations and countries. And we know what that's about. You know, those who are Gentiles are added into it. You know, he's going to lead them to rest. I like that. You know, he's going to bind up the broken. He's going to strengthen the sickly. You know, this is Jesus. He's going to bring a covenant of peace. So much peace that you can sleep in the woods by yourself. You can be in the wilderness and not be scared. You know, and then he kind of says, and I'm going to pour showers of blessing upon him. You know, only Jesus can bring healing and restoration to a broken world and to broken people. Actually, in Luke 4, when Jesus, we don't have it up here, but when Jesus gets up in Nazareth in the synagogue, he reads, they ask him to read a passage, and he reads a passage and says, this is for me. And it was from Isaiah 61. It says, He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. That was Jesus's, we'll say, secondary mission. His primary mission was to go to the cross. We know that. And to be an atonement for us. But why did he live 33 years first? That's the second part of his mission. And that is to reach out to the poor. And that's the poor in spirit. To the captives. To the blind. To the oppressed. The sickly. The scattered. The lost. The diseased. The scattered. You know, the broken. You know. That's what Jesus came to do. That's his mission. Okay, so we're going to, this is just part 1A. We're going to do part 1B. Make sure you listen to that. Thanks.